For the first part of tonight, Nick Lickle-Ronald, hoist the sails, lift the anchor and set course, set sail.
Thank you, Martin. So just to explain to our audience, this is in fact the first episode of Ships on the Horizon that is in full English. Previous ones were all in Dutch. And this is all due to and in celebration of our guest of tonight, Nick Stevens, who is a far better speaker in English, his native tongue, than in Dutch, per se. At least we wouldn't want you to burden you with the effort needed to understand him in Dutch. So, Nick, welcome to the show. You were introduced as an inspirator par excellence for startups. The word startup is used very commonly these days. What is a startup, actually?
That's actually a really good and quite controversial question. As you pointed out, it's used a lot right now. And used or misused is perhaps a set of criteria that you could argue about, to the point where even the sort of six or seven top well-respected people in the startup industry don't have a set definition. Some people say it's a company that's less than a year old. Some people say it's somebody who is starting for themselves. Others say it's something that has to be tech-based and therefore scalable beyond traditional means. For me, there are three types of startup, and it starts with taking responsibility for yourself. So we have this debate in the Netherlands as to whether a freelancer is a startup or not, or is an entrepreneur or not. I would agree they're not a startup, but they're definitely an entrepreneur. They are changing their world. Secondary to that, you have people who want to change the world around them. So they would create a company, for example. Is that a startup? I don't know, but it's a very good thing and we need more of it. And then you have what is traditionally known as the startups. This is the Googles, the Facebooks in the world. And they're the ones who want to change the entire world around them.
All right. That is a very totally encompassing distinction you make between the three. Why do you, as a person, care about startups?
I think part of that comes from my background. I worked for 12 years for a big corporate American manufacturing company.
Yeah, talking to the microphone.
You can lift your microphone just a bit, please.
Like this.
Yeah, more like that.
Sorry, slight technical issue. I think the man has his thumbs in the air. I worked for 12 years for a large American manufacturing company. And that was a very traditional way of thinking. You know, I went to school, got a job, got a better job, got a promotion. And we see already that the future does not look like this anymore. We've known for some time that the quantity of jobs in the world are diminishing compared to the population of jobs that we need. I think 15 or 20 years ago, we looked at this and said, but there will still be plenty of work. And now we're seeing that with robots and artificial intelligence and just even technology in general, there is going to be a certainly less work or at least different work to be done. And so relying on getting a job is no longer valid for many people. Therefore, starting for yourself or creating a company or a startup becomes a way of taking responsibility for you and people around you in a world that is changing.
All right.
And not only that, maybe jobs will still exist, but they won't last for 40 years. Facebook doesn't exist for, how old is Facebook? 15 years, maybe?
Not even, 11 years now.
And I don't think it will exist in 20 years' time. So maybe you can get a job, but it won't last for 40 years. So you have, what you say, take responsibility, create your own employment.
Yeah, so what's interesting about that is Facebook is obviously one of the often used examples. And if you compare Facebook, which is 11 years old, has 10 or 11,000 employees worldwide, to somebody like IBM, who is 104 years old and has almost 450,000 employees, the corporates of tomorrow do not look like the corporates of yesterday. So for every new Facebook that pops up, there is still a deficit of 400 and something thousand jobs compared to their traditional counterparts.
So we're not talking about jobs if we're talking about startups?
Certainly not on the scale that we're used to seeing in the past. I don't see that coming back in any way, shape or form like we used to.
Okay. But then from your definition of startups and the distinctions you make between the three types, are we then now moving to a time where it's about commitment about applying yourself to the world instead of finding a job?
So I think that's interesting. I think whether there will be enough work for people to do is something that we can't see yet, but the type of work that will be available to do will definitely change and is already changing. So the amount of extremely dull manual labor, repetitive work that can be done by machines will force people to either do nothing or to do something that can be more fulfilling or will stretch their brains and physical constraints much further. Whether you will do that working for somebody else or being the boss yourself, I think that's still going to be debatable for a very long time.
Do you have a personal preference in there?
No, not really. I think there's a place for both in the world. Your intrinsic motivation and your capabilities and the world around you obviously make a huge difference as to what you can do. When we, sitting here in the Netherlands, think about entrepreneurship and startup, we have a very Western European perspective of it. I'm fortunate that I get to travel to some far-flung places. 3 weeks ago, I was in Macedonia, and it was amazing. You can live as a 20-something-year-old there for just 400 euros a month, but you cannot get a job that pays 400 euros a month.
So from our perspective, it's cheap living.
Absolutely.
Unless that. But there's no way that you can make that kind of money there.
So what are the youth doing right now? They're figuring out this whole thing that we call startups and entrepreneurship. It's almost like they're 10 or 15 years behind Western Europe, but they'll catch up really, really fast.
And they might even leapfrog us if they're not held back by stuff that holds us back.
So if Eastern Europe doesn't, Africa definitely will.
Do you ever been to Africa for Startup Weekend?
I haven't yet. Okay. We do exist over there. We're doing quite a lot, but I've not been myself.
Okay. So what do you think of Groningen as a city for startups? How is that working out for Groningen? Because you've been here for
5 years now.
5 years.
Yeah. I came back from the States at the very end of 2009, living here in the northern part of the Netherlands. I think Groningen is a very special city that most local people don't get to see because they're too close to it. We have a really great set of conditions. There's a book written by a guy in the States called Brad Feld, and the book is called Startup Communities. And he basically describes the 20 years of building Boulder, Colorado, right in the center of the USA, as a city for startups. And it was a 20-year process and is in perpetuation. And as I was reading through it, it was like a mental checklist. Groningen has this, Groningen has this, Groningen has this. Wow, we've got all of the right elements to become a great startup city, including not being the capital city, believe it or not. That's a disadvantage. It puts too much pressure on, usually has too much cost associated with it. And so Groningen is becoming a really great place to start a business. In fact, you probably saw last year some statistics I pulled together via the Deloitte Fast 50, and we have the most increase in companies in the Fast 50. So this is the fastest 50 growing companies in the Netherlands of the whole country, and is continuing to increase.
Do you know of any reason for that? Any particular effort that was made, or is it coincidence?
Yeah, that's a good question. There's obviously cause effect and correlation. Mm-hmm. I haven't done the research at a scientific level. Certainly, we're a city that is great internet connectivity, and there was some work done certainly before I got here, building the internet infrastructure, partially the Media Centrale. Whether that is the cause or the effect or just the outcome, I'm not sure. But I think being one of the youngest cities in the country stroke Europe is definitely a good part of that. When you have this sort of ever revolving fountain of eternal youth, I guess, that brings in new ideas and inspiration all of the time.
Yeah. And we have a tradition in information technology dating back from the 60s when the Rekencentra, the computing centers of the government were outplaced to the periphery, like Groningen.
Probably just to give people jobs here instead of having them do dirty work.
Yeah. But some of the first generation entrepreneurs in IT here in Groningen are really from that background.
All right. So again, because this has been coming up quite a lot recently. We see something that our government actually does that helps innovation along. Wasn't it somebody who said, you know, government actually is the biggest innovator of all? You're smiling.
I wonder how many people would actually agree with that. But I think if you consider the job of a government to think long term, that's probably quite true. Whether they do the innovation themselves or they're just stimulating. I heard you guys using these word ripples mm-hmm. of the future. And so I think it's quite possible that things that the government is doing now, we really won't see their effect for another 5, 10 or 15 years. And then we'll look back and go, huh, maybe that wasn't so stupid after all.
All right. So what's the most interesting thing that the city of Groningen or some party in the city of Groningen is doing currently that you think will have an effect in another 10 or 15 years?
That's interesting when we talk about Groningen specifically. I know if I can sort of...
Should we talk about the city or should we talk about the province and the other northern provinces as well?
Yeah, I think to really understand it, and this is one of the difficult things with entrepreneurship, startup, and economics at a bigger level, is that you can scale it up or down to individual people or to the whole country, and all of the same principles are applicable, but just sort of easier or less easy to understand. Entrepreneurship and startups right now is hot. It's happening not just here in the north, but all over the Netherlands, all over Europe, and in fact, probably most of the world. So there's a distinction between what is being done because it needs to be done and is being done the right way or with good intention, and what is just jumping on a bandwagon because it's cool or hip. The lines between those two things are very difficult to distinguish, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But I think ultimately, whenever you're doing something to help people take responsibility for themselves, those who can at least, good things will come out of it sooner or later. For example, here in the north, the universities and high schools, you know, they have this. I'm not sure if it's an official mandate, but you know, this desire to make sure that every student that goes through their organization picks up some sort of entrepreneurial coaching or teaching, even if it's not an actual course or a set of classes, but just that they somehow come in contact with the mindsets of entrepreneurship. Because they realize that this is a really important skill set for the future that we haven't really been teaching in the past.
Right. Okay. So thanks for that. I think that actually provides a very nice intro to the music, Martin.
Yeah, great idea. This is Ships on the Horizon. Ronald and Lieke discussed the startup climate in Groningen with Nick Stevens.